RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news. News from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We will continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Listener's Mailbag. That's our program for today, listener. And now let's stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news, read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Coordinating Economy Minister Darmin Nasution says Indonesia's economy can grow into 7 strongest in the world. Indonesian Health Minister eased regulated prices of medicines. Indonesia Quality Expo 2015 is to be held next week. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Coordinating Economy Minister Darmin Nasution said that the Indonesian economy would be among 7 top countries with strong economy if the country's infrastructure development was well executed, Minister Darmin said in Jakarta recently. According to Minister Darmin, current challenges faced by Indonesia include lack of infrastructure and high logistic costs due to non-ideal conditions. He explained that the average travel time to reach Indonesian main corridors was 1.6 hours per 100 kilometers. Minister Darmin added that Indonesian power distribution ratio reached 84.1%, which was far behind Thailand, the Philippines, and Vietnam with a ratio of 100%. However, Mr. Darmin said that the government was committed to supporting investors to address the problem by issuing 6 economic policy packages, crafting government business partnership schemes, and setting up innovative funding schemes. Indonesian Health Minister Nila Muluk said that the Health Ministry would refund the mechanism if there are prices of medicine that violate the regulations. According to Minister Nila, not all medicine prices that are expensive are caused by promotional costs. She also said that raw materials to manufacture medicines are imported, so the prices of medicines are influenced by the fluctuation of the US dollar exchange rate. The prices of medicine, Mr. Nila said, are also influenced by the decision to reap benefits and marketing funds. She said if the prices of medicines are not bigger than the marketing funds, that is not a problem because it is integrated. She further said that if the prices of medicines are bigger than the promotional funds, it will be regulated by the Health Ministry. Previously, Tempo investigation team found collusion between pharmaceutical companies and doctors when they give prescription to certain medicine to patients. The National Standardization Agency BSN will hold Indonesian Quality Expo IQE 2015 on November 9 until 10 at the Jakarta Convention Center to commemorate the National Quality Month. Budi Raharjo, the head of the Legal Organization of Public Relations Bureau at the National Standardization Agency, said the event held on an annual basis. He added that the commemoration of the National Quality Month was initiated in 1991. Woody added that at least 25 small and medium enterprises would participate promoting their products such as batted organic rice, handicraft and various culinary from the archipelago. According to Woody, small and medium enterprises involvement at the IQE 2005 reflects the small and medium enterprises are ready to implement the Indonesian national standard requirement. He added in the end that this will lead to a readiness to welcome the ASEAN free trade to be implemented on January 1, 2016. Budi hopes that the event will become a forum to discuss topics related to quality improvement in a bid to craft the strategy needed to compete in the global market. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi denied an article entitled Waiting in the Lobby of the White House, which stated that the bilateral meeting between President Joko Widodo and the U.S. President Barack Obama, Hussein Obama, was arranged through a lobbyist from Singapore who was paid $80,000. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi in a press conference in Jakarta on Saturday afternoon confirmed that a series of meetings between President Joko Widodo and President Barack Obama has been arranged through diplomatic channels directly led by Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs. That all preparations were made through formal channels and the Minister of Foreign Affairs coordinated all preparations of this visit. I want to start on 10 November 2014. On the sidelines of the APEC summit in Beijing, there was a meeting between President Jokowi and President Obama, where President Obama verbally invited President Jokowi to visit the USA. Furthermore, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said in March 2015 there was an official visit of Special Envoy of President Barack Obama to Jakarta that brought the invitation of the U.S. President, stating that President Barack Obama was hoping that President Joko Widodo could visit the White House in 2015. Meanwhile, Director General of the American European of Minister of Foreign Affairs, Triansa Dianjani, on the same occasion said that he was the most offended if it is said that the meeting between President Barack Obama and President Joko Widodo was set up by lobbyists. It took months to prepare everything, starting from the APEC summit in Beijing to match the date, to seek opportunities. Frankly, I'm personally most offended. I did a lot of works of this, and it takes a lot of time. We have to make the news straight. And that is not right. That is not true. It is possible to set up a visit without communication. Triansa Dianjani confirms preparation for the visit of President Joko Widodo to the United States includes a number of ministerial meetings and reciprocal visits of the minister and high-ranking official from both countries, a number of business missions which culminated in a meeting between Minister of Foreign Affairs and United States Secretary of State in Washington, D.C. on 21 September 2015. Early a lecturer in Southeast Asian political science at the School of Oriental and African Studies in London, Michael Butler has written an article entitled Waiting in the White House Lobby, where the article said that the President Joko Widodo visit to the United States allegedly used the services of a paid broker from Singapore. Michael Butler explained about the role of public relations of the two companies from Singapore, Pereira International PTL Ltd. and Las Vegas R&R Partners Incorporation, selling services for $80,000 lobbying the United States to bring together President Joko Widodo with President Obama at the White House on 25 until 27 October 2015. The last item, Indonesian Navy will keep three of its vessels on standby for evacuation at the Banjarmasin Base in South Kalimantan as the number of people affected by respiratory illness resulting from air pollution surpasses 500,000. Navy Chief of Staff Admiral Adi Supandi said recently that three vessels would remain at the base for deployment in the event of deteriorating health condition that might prompt an immediate evacuation of residents. Chief Adi told reporters at the Navy headquarters in Cilangkap, East Jakarta. He said that Kairi Dr. Suharso, Kairi Banda Aceh, and Kairi Teluk Jakarta all land in performed dock-type LPD ships that can accommodate large groups of people would remain in the vicinity under their services were no longer needed. He said his party are also there on standby patrol if required if the government has basically tasked us with the role of assisting mitigation efforts in relation to the health aspect. At the same time, also continue to carry out regular defense duties as long as the ships are at the naval base. To end the news here, the headlines once again. Coordinating Economic Minister Darmin Nasution says Indonesian economy can grow into seventh strongest in the world. Indonesian Health Minister is to regulate prices of medicines. Indonesian Quality Expo 2015 is to be held next week. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our weekly segment, News from Across the Country, which presents you various interesting events from across the country during the week. Listener, the first news comes from Cimacan, West Java. Minister of Religious Affairs Lukman Hakim Saifuddin officially opened Supreme Assembly of Indonesian Catholic Church 2015 in Cimacan, West Java, Monday evening, November 2nd, in front of the head of the Indonesian Bishops' Conference, Monsieur Ignatius Suhario, Indonesian bishops, and Vatican Ambassador to Indonesia, Monsieur Antonio Guido Filippazzi, the Minister of Religious Affairs expressed his gratitude for attending the Supreme Assembly. The minister also appreciated the government for this Supreme Assembly. According to him, the Fourth Supreme Assembly of Indonesian Catholic Church focuses on the role of family in religious life. It is so relevant with the current challenge of life. Minister Lukman said, basically, family is the first school and basic foundation for children to become pious people with strong faith. The minister hoped that this event could produce useful things to create peaceful and joyful family. Catholic family and Indonesian people who spread love and affection among heterogeneous people. The next news comes from West Sulawesi Province. The non-governmental organization Anti-Corruption People Council, or DERAC, in cooperation with West Sulawesi Ministry of Religious Affairs, selected anti-corruption ambassadors. And according to chairman of West Sulawesi DERAC, Husaini, said in Mamuju last Wednesday that the anti-corruption ambassadors are from students of senior high schools and six regencies in West Sulawesi. Every regency will contribute five students that will be selected as anti-corruption ambassadors. Husaini added, the program is held to make West Sulawesi anti-ambassadors motivate people to avoid corruption. He hoped that the anti-corruption ambassadors can minimize corruption in West Sulawesi province. The last news is from Bandung, West Java. West Java provincial government keeps encouraging art and culture works from West Java to be set as the intangible cultural heritage by the central government. According to the head of culture division at West Java Tourism and Culture Service, Wahyu Iskandar, since the administration of West Java Governor Ahmad Heriawan and Deputy Governor Dedi Miswar, the service has successfully encouraged 13 art and culture works to be set as the intangible cultural heritage. These works include 6 works in 2013, 4 works in 2014, and 3 works in 2015. The 3 works are Ngaro Traditional Ceremony from Indramayu, Sintren, Cirebon, and Mamaos Art from Cianjur. Next year, West Java Province targets 10 art and cultural works to be set as the intangible cultural heritage. According to Wahyu, besides West Java, the central government this year sets 121 intangible cultural heritage from other provinces. Other provinces which have many intangible cultural heritage are Yogyakarta and Bali. Well, listener, that ends news from across the country from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Rahma. Thanks for listening.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with 1960. John F. Kennedy defeats Richard Nixon in one of the closest presidential elections of the 20th century to become the 35th president of the United States. John Fitzgerald Jack Kennedy was born on May 29, 1917 and passed away on November 22, 1963, commonly referred to by his initials JFK. He was an American politician who served as the 35th President of the United States from January 1961 until his assassination in November 1963. The Cuban Missile Crisis, the Bay of Pigs invasion, the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty, the establishment of the Peace Corps, developments in the space race, the building of the Berlin Wall, the Civil Rights Movement, the New Frontier Domestic Program, abolishment of the federal death penalty in the District of Columbia, and increased U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War all took place during his presidency. Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas, Texas on November 22, 1963 by a sniper at the Texas School Book Depository. Lee Harvey Oswald was arrested that afternoon as a person of interest in the crime. Dallas nightclub owner Jack Ruby mortally wounded Oswald 2 days later in a jail corridor, which, ironically, was the one place where Oswald should have been safe. The FBI and the Warren Commission officially concluded that Oswald was the lone assassin. The United States House Select Committee on Assassinations agreed with the conclusion that Oswald fired the shots that killed the president, but also concluded that Kennedy was probably assassinated as the result of a conspiracy. Next is from 2013. Typhoon Haiyan, one of the strongest tropical cyclones ever recorded, strikes the Visayas region of the Philippines. The storm left at least 6,340 people dead, with over 1,000 still missing, and caused $2.86 billion in damage. Typhoon Haiyan, known in the Philippines as Typhoon Yolanda, was one of the strongest tropical cyclones ever recorded, devastating portion of Southeast Asia, particularly the Philippines, in early November 2013. It is the deadliest Philippine typhoon recorded in modern history, and killing at least 6,300 people in that country alone. Haiyan is also the strongest storm recorded at landfall, and the second strongest typhoon ever recorded in terms of 1 minute sustained wind speed. As of January 2014, bodies were still being found. Well, last item is World Urbanism Day, which is celebrated in more than 30 countries in 4 continents each November the 8th. The International Organization for World Urbanism Day, also known as World Town Planning Day, was founded in 1949 by the late Professor Carlos Maria de la Paula of the University of Buenos Aires, a graduate at the Institut d'Urbanism in Paris, to advance public and professional interest in planning. It is celebrated in more than 30 countries on 4 continents each November the 8th. It is a special day to recognize and promote the role of planning in creating livable communities. World Urbanism Day presents an excellent opportunity to look at planning from a global perspective, an event which appeals to the conscience of the citizens and public authorities in order to draw attention to the environmental impact resulting from the development of cities and territories. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener, this is highlight of the week from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia entitled AAIB Ready to Give Loan Without Government's Guarantee. I'm Rahmawati. Listener, Asian Investment Infrastructure Bank, or AAIB, will start to operate in January 2016. At the same time, AAIB is also interested in funding infrastructure projects in various Asian countries, including Indonesia. President of AAIB, Chin Lee Koon, visited Indonesia and met the Indonesian President Joko Widodo at the State Palace on November 4th. Concerning the meeting, Minister of the National Development Planning, Sofian Jalil, revealed that AAIB opened opportunities to fund direct loan to state enterprises without guarantee from the government. Minister Sofian Jalil also explained that the meeting between President of AIIB and President Joko Widodo is the last round in negotiation forum to formulate AIIB basic budget. Meanwhile, AIIB President Chin Li-kyun said the finance institutions that he leads is ready to support economic and infrastructure development in Indonesia because Indonesia is an active member that supports the establishment of AIIB. He evaluated that sustainable infrastructure development can solve some economic problems that have hit Indonesia, like poverty. After accompanying President Joko Widodo in welcoming AIIB President, the Indonesian Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro explained that President Joko Widodo hoped AIIB could fund big-scale infrastructure projects in Indonesia. Meanwhile, Secretary of Coordinating Minister of Economy Lukita Dinarsyah Tuwo revealed that now, AIIB targets infrastructure projects in the country that are already ready. However, AIIB stated that it will not give fund easily because it prioritizes infrastructure projects which are clean from any problems like environmental issues and permit. AIIB is a multilateral development bank which is designed to support funding support for infrastructure development in Asia, both for governments and private parties. The bank was established by 57 countries, including Indonesia, in June 2015. The initiative to establish AIIB was delivered directly by Chinese President Xi Jinping at Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, or APEC, in Bali in October 2013. Listener, that ends highlight of the week from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, here is a week in review program highlighting some important events happened in the past week of November 2015. Well, we count the first item is a delegation from the Federation International Football Association, FIFA, and the Association Football Confederation, AFC, expressed their commitment to solve the Indonesian football crisis. The statement was made by Agun Gumelar from the Honorary Board of the Indonesian Football Federation, PSSI, after meeting the representatives of FIFA and AFC at the PSSI's office in Jakarta on last Monday. He noted that the representatives have urged the government to lift sanctions imposed on the PSSI to restore Indonesian football. Meanwhile, the deputy chairman of the PSSI, Hinka Panjaitan, said that the delegation had called on the government to support the PSSI in organizing football matches. On the other hand, the Indonesian Football Federation, PSSI, should honor the government. Early FIFA had gone ahead with its threat to ban Indonesia from international competitions after the government refused to lift the suspension imposed on the PSSI. Hungarian Ambassador to Indonesia Yudit Nametpah, in the diplomatic forum held by RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on last Monday, said that the bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and Hungary keeps going on. She said Hungary wants to boost the cooperation with Indonesia in the field of education program.
We are looking into possibilities for cooperation, especially in the educational field, because this is where everything starts, with education, that you have exchange programs, exchanging of views, and making, you know, knowing the people more and more about each other. That's one point. But also we are organizing business forums, and we are working together in cooperation with cities like Bandung, where they are very much into supporting startups.
Moreover, Hungarian Ambassador to Indonesia Yudit Nametpah also said Hungary is quite successful in encouraging young people in business programs which grow the development of young entrepreneurs. Therefore, she wants to bring the program to Indonesia so that the program can be part of bilateral cooperation. The Directorate of Technical Cooperation of Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs has carried out eight technical assistance programs from January until October 2015. The programs involved 221 participants from 27 countries in Asia and Africa as a contribution of Indonesian government for South-South countries. On November 9, 2015, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi opened officially some capacity-building programs in the framework of series events of 60th anniversary of the Asia-African Conference and the 10 new Asian-African Strategy Partnership. Director for Technical Cooperation of Foreign Affairs Ministry, Siti Nugraha Maulidia, to RRI World Service in Jakarta on last Tuesday said the capacity-building assistance for Asia-African countries will be given in the field of freshwater aquaculture, automotive technician, tourism, and corruption eradications.
Nanti ada pembukaan pelatihan, ada workshop, ada juga nanti pembukaan journalist visit program, juga ada dispatch expert.
There will be the opening of training and workshop. There are also the opening of journalist visit programs and also dispatch experts. So these activities carry out not only in Jakarta but also in Sukabumi, Semarang, Papua. And there is also expert dispatch sending expert to Tunisia in the field of freshwater aquaculture and entrepreneurship, and also for automotive technicians and in the field of tourism. Moreover, in the Palestine, there are activities in the field of airstrip management and expert dispatch. There is the field of corruption eradication. Furthermore, Nugraha Maulidia said 44 Asian African countries will participate in the capacity building program, among others Tunisia, Egypt, Algeria, Morocco, Angola, Burundi, Ethiopia, Kenya, Madagascar, Mozambique, Namibia, Rwanda, Sudan, Tanzania, Zambia, Fiji, Solomon Islands, Vanuatu, Papua New Guinea, and Timor-Leste. In addition to technical assistance, the Minister of Foreign Affairs will also conduct efforts to strengthen coordination at the national level with the ministers or other stakeholders to harmonize the Indonesian foreign policy through South-South Cooperation Forum. Indonesian government will implement an integrated transmigration program in Indonesian border areas in order to develop the borders. Integrated transmigration program will be one of the ways to develop the border area, so the development in Indonesia would vary. This was said by Minister of Rural, Disadvantaged Areas and Transmigration Marwan Jafar after opening the Border Investment Summit in Jakarta on last Tuesday. He said that the government has currently started implementing the initial phase of the transmigration program. He hopes the next year, the government will be able to run the placement process so that the development of the border region could be accelerated.
Kita sudah mulai melakukan kegiatan transmigrasi secara terintegrasi dan...
We already started the integrated and comprehensive transmigration in the border area. We will build an integrated plantation. Then we also make an integrated farm in the border area through a transmigration program. The construction has begun this year. Early 2016, we will begin the placement of people. Minister Marwan Jafar said further, the integrated transmigration program received high appreciation from the Indonesian regional heads. Until now, the central government has signed memorandum of understanding with the three regional heads and 12 regions or mayors who also expressed support towards the program. The integrated transmigration is planned to be implemented in the border areas in Indonesia, such as Kalimantan, Rio Islands, Papua, and East Nusa Tenggara. To encourage the implementation of the Human Rights Friendly Cities National Commission on Human Rights, or Komnas HAM, Minister of Justice and Human Rights Affairs and NGOs will hold the second national conference in Jakarta on 25th until 26th of November. Commissioner Komnas HAM Muhammad Nur Khoirand, at a press conference on last Wednesday, November 5th, said that since Indonesia has applied the centralization system, responsibility, protection and fulfillment of human rights are also the domain of the regional governments. The regional governments in Indonesia should be encouraged to be proactive to implementing human rights principles.
Human rights cities ini sebetulnya sebuah sikap global dari kecenderungan.
Human rights cities are actually a global campaign of some countries that see the importance of implementation of human rights should be encouraged not only in the aspect of authority of the national government or the central government, but there should also be initiated by more regional governments. These efforts are to implement the principles and norms of human rights that had been becoming international principles. Regional governments should engage proactively in efforts to implement the principles and norms of human rights that had been becoming international principles.
Di dalam upaya mengimplementasikan prinsip dan norma hak asasi manusia yang selama ini telah menjadi prinsip internasional.
Furthermore, Nur Khairan said that during the last 3 years, a report on human rights evaluation has risen sharply and most of the reported is the regional governments. Nur Khairan added this conference is expected to be a forum for heads of regions, civil society, academicians, and the private sector to share experiences and perspectives in protecting human rights. On the same occasion, Deputy Human Rights Resources Elsam Zainal Abidin explained human rights friendly city is a city that is able to meet and implement the principle of human rights. So far, the town of Wonosobo, Palu, and Bandung had been becoming towns that care for human rights. Italian President Sergio Mattarella will make a visit to Indonesia to be scheduled on 8 until 10 November 2015. Based on the schedule, he will be received by Indonesian President Joko Widodo and accompanied by Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi. The spokesperson of the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, at a press conference in Jakarta on last Thursday, said that the main purpose of the historic visit is to improve the economic cooperation. He also explained that the visit of President Sergio Mattarella to Indonesia is a very historic visit because it is the first time for an Italian president to visit Indonesia since the two countries opened bilateral relations in 1949.
Pada tanggal 8-10 akan ada kunjungan ke.
On 8 to 10 November, there will be a state visit of Italian president. This is an historic visit because it is the first time for an Italian president to visit Indonesia since we established the bilateral relations in 1949. President of Italy, Sergio Mattarella, will meet President Joko Widodo on November 9th. The main purpose of this visit is to improve the bilateral cooperation, especially in the economic field. According to Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, President Sergio Mattarella will be accompanied by 28 top entrepreneurs from the PICA country, with many fields such as in maritime, infrastructure, banking, and energy. Besides, Armanata said that there are some issues that will be discussed in the bilateral meeting between President Joko Widodo and President Sergio Mattarella. They are creative industry sector, maritime infrastructure, tourism, renewable energy, and the management of cultural heritage. Based on the plan in the bilateral meeting between President Joko Widodo and President Sergio Mattarella, there will be the signing of two memorandums of understanding, namely the policy on visa exemption of diplomatic and official passport holders and the tourism cooperation. In addition to bilateral meeting with the President Joko Widodo, President Sergio Mattarella is scheduled to deliver a keynote speech at the Indonesian National Defense Institute. Italy is one of Indonesia's largest trading partners in Europe, with a value of trade between two countries reaching $4 billion in 2014, with a surplus for Indonesia amounting to $560 million. Chairman of Indonesian Institute of Science, LIPI, Iskandar Sukarnain, to RRI World Service at the Seminar of Challenge and Prospect of Electricity Power Policy at LIPI's building in Jakarta on last Thursday said that LIPI is offering some regional governments to be able to build electrical power plant to fulfill people's electrical needs. He said up to now LIPI keeps communicating with many regional governments to cooperate in building electrical energy.
Kebutuhan listrik untuk masyarakat.
If we see the domain of the people's electric needs is the regional government, so LIPI communicates with them to explore LIPI's technology. But if they do not want to prioritize building electrical energy, we feel difficult. Sometimes the position of scientists cannot implement their idealism. LIPI has developed. We always try to socialize, but the decision is on the regional government's policy. Moreover, Iskandar Zulkarnain also said that the central government must be able to materialize the electric energy for Indonesian people across the country. He said it becomes a serious challenge for the government because the problem of electrical plant is so complicated. On last Thursday, Indonesian Trade Minister Thomas Trikasi Lembon opened officially the Archipelago Food Exhibition and Domestic Product Expo 2015, which is taking place in Jakarta Broad Beach until 8 of November. On the occasion, Minister Thomas appreciates the participants who participate in the exhibition. He says such exhibition is able to create entrepreneurs and new jobs for people. Indonesia is of course in majority relating in the economy of SMEs. This is practically the same as all the countries in the world. Almost all countries in the world, the majority rather than the economy, jobs, even majority of export come from SMEs. Of course, it becomes your task of the Minister of Trade to foster, assist and support anyway. Our friend at SMEs who worked hard to demonstrate the innovation and outstanding industry. Minister Thomas added, Trade Minister has facilitated about 22,000 micro, small and medium enterprises SMEs in the various activities. According to him, over the last 9 years, the Archipelago Food Exhibition Domestic Product Expo has recorded a total of 40 billion rupiah from 3,100 SMEs. Furthermore, Minister Thomas Laimbun said this effort will continue to be done in order to raise the level of SMEs, starting for micro, small and medium to become independent. The exhibition is participated in by around 280 small and medium enterprises from all over Indonesia. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi was attending the Asia-Europe meeting ASEM in Luxembourg on 4 until 6 November 2015. She was the main speaker at the meeting with the theme Working Together for a Sustainable and Secure Future. The spokesperson of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Armanata Kristiawan Nasir at a press conference in Jakarta on last Tuesday said the Minister Retno was discussing some issues which had been a main focus of the Indonesian government in various world forums related to extremism and radicalism. At one of the retreat sections with the theme violence, countering terrorism and extremism, of course, in the event, the Foreign Affairs Minister was discussing some issues which had been continuously raised by Indonesian government related to Indonesian support to counter the violence, extremism and radicalism by using soft power and the rule of two major Islamic organizations in Indonesia, Nahdlatul Ulama NU and Muhammadiyah, and the roles that they have played. Moreover, according to Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, Foreign Affairs Minister Retno was also discussing the empowerment of women and mothers in providing education to the children under moderate ideology. The spokesperson of Indonesian Foreign Press Minister also explained that the ASEAN meeting discussed other important issues such as climate change, disaster management, sustainable development, connectivity and the future of ASEAN. Armanata added that on the sideline of ASEAN meeting, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi conducted 13th bilateral meetings with British government, Ireland, the Netherlands, Belgium, Spain and Luxembourg as a host of ASEAN. The ASEAN meeting is a forum that was established in 1996 to discuss the issues involving the region and Asian countries. It is designed as a forum for informal conversation between European and Asian countries to discuss a range of issues such as economy, politics, defense, strategy, education, culture and environment. The last item, Bandung International Jeda Art Festival BIDAF, took place at the Lehmat Braga Building, Bandung West Chapa from November 6 until 8, 2015. The event that enters the second year was presenting 27 local participants and 3 foreign participants. To Erri World Service, Voice of Indonesia, Head of Planning Section of Bandung Tourism and Culture Office, Iwan Darmawan mentions the main goal of the festival. The goal is actually to find a new form of tourism, of course, but in connection with digital. Besides, we hope there will be movement from the community to become an activator in digital sector. So we try some alternatives to develop art and culture through the digital era. Well, this is an opportunity where the digital market is wider. That's why we need to increase our potency in several levels and programs, and hopefully it can also create a new production of economy. Iwan added, hopefully Bandung International Digital Art Festival BIDAF could make Bandung as a trendsetter in the digital world development. The main program of BIDAF relies on 4 important aspects in digital art, namely putting forward the most sophisticated development in art and digital, artistically, economically and technically, so that it is able to affect the dynamic human culture at the global level. These 4 aspects appear in a form of exhibition, performances, workshop, and discussion. Listener, that was Week in Review over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm here, Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hear news in brief read by Rahmana. Indonesia's coordinating economy minister Darmin Nasution said that Indonesia economy would be among seven top countries with strong economy if the country's infrastructure development was well executed. Indonesian Health Minister Nila Mulud said that the health ministry would refund the mechanism if there are prices of medicine that violate the regulations. According to Minister Nila, not all medicine prices that are expensive are caused by promotional cost. The National Standardization Agency BSN will hold Indonesian Quality Expo IQE 2015 on November 9 until 10 at the Jakarta Convention Center to commemorate the National Quality Month. Budi Raharjo, the head of the legal organization of Public Relations Bureau at the National Standardization Agency, said that the event held on annual basis. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi denied an article entitled Waiting in the Lobby of the White House, which stated that the bilateral meeting between President Joko Widodo and the U.S. President Barack Hussein Obama was arranged through a lobbyist from Singapore who was paid $80,000. Indonesian Navy will keep three of its vessels on standby for evacuation at the Banjarmasin base in South Kalimantan as the number of people affected by respiratory illness resulting from air pollution survived is half of million. Navy Chief of Staff Admiral Adis Pandit said recently that three vessels would remain at the base for deployment in the event of deteriorating health condition that might prompt immediate evacuation of residents. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Listeners, you are still listening to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin Program. For feedback about the program, you can send us email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. You can also send a letter to PO Box 1157, Central Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Listener, coming up next, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a segment which introduces Indonesian tourism potentials, including tourist destination, art and culture, also culinary. Today, I'll take you for a visit to Tumbak Village in North Sulawesi. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program via live streaming at www.voi.co.id. So far, Bunaken Marine Park has been the only known site for excellent tourism in North Sulawesi, whereas North Sulawesi still has many tourist destinations, including a tourist paradise that is no less interesting to other tourist destinations called Tumbak. Tumbak Village is located in Posumayan District, Southeast Minahasa Regency, about 3 hours drive from the city of Manado, which is the capital of the North Sulawesi province. Tumbak Village is a unique settlement with houses lined up on the water. Tumbak is another word for mangroves which covers 1 hectare of land and dominates large parts of the village. When you reach Tumbak Village, you can continue the journey to Tumbak Island by boat. Boat rental services are often found in the pier of Tumbak Village. Most residents of this traditional village are fishermen who also open boat rental services. The location of Tumbak Island is not far from the pier. It only takes about 10 minutes by fishing boat to reach it. Tumbak Island is different from Tumbak Village. It is an uninhabited island and has an area of less than 1 hectare. Although small, the island offers a variety of marine tourism activities because of its natural beauty. There is a hill on Tumbak Island. From the top of the hill, visitors can see the expanse of blue sea lined with beautiful group of islands in the southeast waters of North Sulawesi. Besides the hill, Tumbak Island also has a savanna that has not been touched by humans. Interspersed with lush greenery, the savanna is a perfect site for those who crave for a quiet place in the middle of the island. Enriched with many snorkeling spots, Tumbak Island offers a complete package of marine tourism. In addition to snorkeling, visitors can also do some fishing and diving. Underwater scenery is very charming around the Tumbak Island and has increasingly attracted many tourists. If you want to explore the beauty of Tumbak, you have to set aside at least 2 days. Besides the underwater beauty, which offers view of various fish, your eyes will also be pampered with a carpet of beautiful colorful coral. Besides enjoying the beauty beneath the bottom of the sea, you can enjoy the natural beauty of surrounding islands with wonderful white sandy beaches near villages of line-up houses on the water like Baling-Baling Islands and Ponteng Island. That was Indonesian Wonder featuring Tumbak Village in North Sulawesi. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany. A regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will discuss Indonesian world acclaimed cultural heritage, batik. So stay tuned in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Batik is an original Indonesian cultural heritage that has been recognized by the world. Batik is generally applied to fabric and used as clothing material. However, in addition to fashion, batik fabric can also be used as decoration on the interior design. The most widely used is to spread batik on the wall. To show the beauty of a piece of batik to the maximum, it would take an artistic touch, however. For example, by making it appear wavy so that the walls, which originally was flat, can look more dynamic. The use of batik as an element of the interior design would reinforce the feel of a traditional style. Not only in Javanese houses, for batik originally comes from Java, but also in other areas. It was found out later that batik doesn't belong to Java Island only. There are other regions in Indonesia which also have batik. In fact, each region has its own characteristics batik. The use of batik motif is now growing. A senior interior design consultant, Aries Timotius, said batik can now be applied on any medium, not only on fabrics but also in buildings such as apartment buildings. According to Aries, batik has a philosophy that is very interesting and full of local wisdom to be applied in interior design. He said a trend that leads to the interior design, a blend of modern and traditional style, has combined batik in modern buildings such as apartments. He added to beautify the interior of the building, the motif can be explored to increase the ethnic atmosphere of a building which is now in vogue. Batik motif can be used on walls, ceilings, furniture, lighting or other accessories.
One of the apartment buildings that apply batik in the design of the building is Synthesis Residence Kemang in South Jakarta, which uses batik kawung as the inspiration concept of residential development. Batik kawung motif consists of patterns similar to kawung fruit, a kind of coconut, arranged geometrically. This batik with rectangular geometric shape in Javanese culture symbolizes the cycle of human life. Man should always remember his origins. Batik kawung is applied ranging from modern facade that is placed randomly on the balcony and the roof of the apartment tower unit. Well, that was Miscellany Today, which discussed batik in interior design. Until next time, with another edition of Miscellany, I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Listener, wherever you may be, we would like to thank you to our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by S.M. Abdullah Rana in Bangladesh. Hello, Mr. Abdullah Rana. Thank you for your email dated October 29, 2015. Thank you for spending your time to listen to our radio. We also really appreciate VOI's Fans Club, which has been created or established in your country. Thank you very much. Well, Mr. Abdullah Rana, keep listening and sending your reception reports on our broadcast to our radio. And special for you and our regular listeners, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
jadi milikku, aku langsung jadi.
Listener, now we will reply an email from MD Zafar Hassan in India. In his email, Mr. Zafar Hassan said that he cannot listen to our audio streaming on his mobile. Hello, Mr. Zafar Hassan. Thank you for your email dated October 16, 2015. We are really sorry because you cannot hear our radio through your mobile. Have you downloaded our mobile apps? We have RRI Play or RRI Play and RRI World Service mobile applications. With RRI Play, you will not only listen to VOI programs, but also all RRI stations across Indonesia. And with RRI World Service or RRI World Service mobile application, you can listen and also watch the video streaming of VOI programs. As our appreciation, we will send our QSL card to your home, but please be patient to wait for it. Thank you very much. Well, listener, you are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. And now we'll continue to reply an email from MD Shaheen Patwari. Hello, Mr. Shaheen Patwari. Thank you for your email dated November the 5th, 2015. For program schedule, you can visit our website www.voi.co.id. www.voi.co.id. Well, Mr. Shaheen Patwari, we are looking forward to receiving your next email with your reception reports. Thank you very much. And now we will reply an email from our regular listener in Pakistan, Kalab Abbas. Hello, Mr. Kalab Abbas. It's been a long time that we have not received your email. How are you now? We hope you are healthy and are listening to this segment. We are glad because you still keep in touch with Voice of Indonesia. Thank you for your compliment on our broadcast, and hopefully you will get more interesting information from our radio. Well, listener, unfortunately, we have to sign off. We appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id. info@voi.co.id. Or to english@voi.co.id. english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and also like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and also The Voice of Indonesia. Or you can also follow our Twitter at Voi Indonesia, at Voi Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude Listener's Mailbag for this week, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Ania Sana. Thank you for listening. And we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag. Bye-bye.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. Or PO Box 1157, Jakarta
1-0011 Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.